The Clare Byrne Show on News Talk
with Aviva Insurance.
Climate anxiety now impacts two-thirds of young people. So just how does it manifest and what can parents do to ease the apparent overwhelm? Well, News Talk Sarah Madden is here with me in the studio. Good morning to you, Sarah.
Good morning, Claire.
So climate anxiety affecting two out of every three young people. Tell us more about those figures and where they come from.
Yes, well, those figures come from a 2021 study done by The Lancet. It looked at 10,000 young people aged between 16 and 25 from all over the world. And overall, nearly 60% of respondents described themselves as either very or extremely worried about climate change. Three quarters felt their future was frightening, while more than 45% said that those feelings adversely affected their daily functioning.
Okay.
So
that's a lot.
It is, absolutely. Now, that was the first major piece of research into eco-anxiety or eco-grief, as it's sometimes called. There's lots of different names for it. But since then, a number of studies have sort of put meat on those bones, including a lot of research specific here to Ireland. Elaine Nevin is the National Director of Eco-UNESCO.
Climate anxiety and eco-anxiety, it's really, I suppose, where young people are feeling very concerned and very anxious around environmental issues, around climate change, and around, I suppose, what's going to happen in their futures. We run annual surveys, their Youth Climate Voices survey, so we've been doing this since 2020, and each year we have over 1,000 young people aged between 15 and 25 who tell us how they're feeling about climate and climate change. In the last year, over 79% of them were saying that they were feeling anxious when they think about climate and climate-related issues. They are fearful, I suppose, for their futures. They are feeling angry, and actually, when we look back over the last 3 years, what we're finding was that that sense of anger has increased. And they feel a sense of overwhelm, I think, when they think about climate and environment as well.
So Sarah, what are the specific things that our young people are concerned about?
Well, that seems to depend on their experience and also their age. For example, a US study from last April found that approximately 20% of young people are afraid to have children. But that jumps to 30% if they had experienced a severe weather event firsthand. So you'd be worried about what the sort of extreme weather we've been having over the last couple of months and years would do. Some experts also claim that these symptoms of climate anxiety can be found in children as young as three. And actually, if you do go on TikTok, you'll find videos of creche-aged children and they're sort of sobbing about losing their teddy bears. They're obviously kind of confusing matters a little bit, and they're also crying about animals they love that are being killed. It's really disturbing, actually, to see. But I went out to Selbridge Community School and I spoke with some TY students out there who told me their specific concerns.
Hearing now, especially about like the polar bears and the ice melting and all, it's really sad that their natural habitat and like their home is just melting and kind of just falling apart in front of them, and there's nothing that they can do about it. There may not be polar bears and stuff when we get older, and it's quite sad.
I'd say like bees, they're going extinct pretty quickly from people cutting down like forests like the Amazon.
I would say even like seeing it on a local level, like the River Liffey runs through here, and walking over like bridges and stuff where it runs through is like, you can just see it getting higher and higher, especially around the winter. I've noticed that like places around fields that like is near the River Liffey, I haven't really been able to go to as much because like certain parts of the land are flooded or the tide is so high and the river is so high, you just can't go there anymore. And you hear about it on the news all the time and you hear about it on social media all the time, but it's very different seeing it through like your own eyes and like seeing it in your hometown.
I do have family like who live in the Philippines, and that country is like very heavily affected by climate change. Like in 2025, there were, I think, 15 typhoons and 25 storms just in 1 year alone, and I'm like kind of nervous that it's like going to end up impacting the whole world and like our future.
For me, it definitely makes me feel more nervous than kind of angry or sad. It just kind of, you know, brings kind of a worry as to what might happen in the future for not only our lives but for, you know, our kids' lives.
Personally, for me, I would say helpless.
Kind of daunting sense of like hopelessness.
In the future, if we want to bring anything into the world, like say children, it just feels like an entirely like selfish decision for us.
What's happened in the past couple months with floods, like heavy rainfall, there's a good bit that's happened that people would be worried about.
Would be worried about and should be worried about, in fairness, Sarah.
Yeah, well, that is the thing. And though it is a recognised phenomenon, climate anxiety, psychologists are hesitant to pathologize it because, you know, being worried or being fearful about climate change and its impact, that's just a valid way of feeling. That's an obvious way that you would feel if your survival is threatened. And particularly when Elaine earlier was talking about them being angry. I mean, Ireland is not on target to reach its 2030 climate goals. And then you have the leader of one of the most important leaders in the world claiming that it doesn't even exist. I mean, that sort of thing is enraging. So it's all understandable. It's little wonder, I suppose, also that Childline is now regularly being contacted by young people who are suffering from climate anxiety. I spoke with Bree O'Neill. She is from the ISPCC's Digital Mental Health and Wellbeing Programme.
They feel very powerless, I think, would be the main bit of feedback that we hear about it, that they worry that it's too late for any changes to be made that would be significant. That's one of the big things that we hear about, and worrying about what it is that they can do in a situation where they do feel powerless. But things that are discussed are, extreme weathers, which, you know, it's been raining quite a lot. We've seen flooding. So that's what would be mentioned. And they feel quite hopeless, like it's out of control now, out of their hands to do anything about it. Some indeed might be quite teary, emotional, or very flat, very down about it. It's affecting mood, anxious, as we've been saying, depressed. It can affect things like sleeping and eating patterns, which can then have a knock-on effect with interpersonal relationships. So it can have really impactful effects for young people and their families.
And the impact on wider families, I mean, that's worth talking about, because they say, don't you, that you're only as happy as your least happy child.
Yeah, my mum always used to say that. And actually, the Lancet report we spoke about earlier, it did show that 50% of young people said, when they brought up their feelings around climate change, they felt dismissed and ignored. Now, I don't have children, but to be fair, it's a really tough one for parents to grapple with and also to comfort a child through, because, you know, we don't have an easy fix for it. There's no easy to reach for BAM. And it's something that we need to talk about and really address, because the distress they're feeling is real and young minds are so vulnerable. I spoke with one expert who told me that the majority of mental health problems, up to 75%, begin before the age of 24. Senior clinical psychologist Dr. Amy Brogan is a member of the Psychological Society Climate Group. She's a parent and she's also a member of Parents for Future Ireland.
We're kind of upskilling children in some ways or teaching them about climate change in school. But what does that leave them with? When we think of how our society is responding or not responding, as the case may be, to what we know or what the science is telling us about climate change. And that's a very emotionally tricky place for young people. There's an added impact then when their trusted leaders, be that the other adults in their lives, right up to the government level, are not acting in a way that is congruent with what they're learning and reading in the science of climate change. Yeah. So their emotions are not only being held, they're not being shared or reflected in the values held by other people in their world. I think there's lots you can do as a parent. I think the first thing is to try and get a little bit more informed yourself. And that probably means looking a little bit about your own emotions and working through your own emotions around this, because we have a great tendency to avoid it emotionally in ourselves because it's very overwhelming. It's, you know, a really big topic. It affects all aspects of how we live. But I think a great first step can be joining yourselves with others who share their concerns and joining something that's of interest to you or them. So that could be like a local repair cafe, a climate cafe, an allotment, a tidy towns group, something that's of your interest where you're with other people that share your concerns. Because we do know from the literature that kind of a collective response to anxiety is a much better antidote for anxiety than doing individual action. So joining with others is really helpful.
So a problem shared is a problem halved. Are there any other antidotes to climate anxiety, Sarah, that you found out about for young people?
Yes. Well, we know that a big part of eco-anxiety is feeling unheard. So being offered a seat at the table or at least a hearing from policymakers, from those with powers. But what appears to have the most impact is action. channeling that anxiety into positive change, however small that might be. So back in Selbridge Community School, students have all these opportunities where they can pour their concern into a range of environmental projects and eco initiatives. I spoke with Assistant Principal Anne-Marie Flanagan, and she took me for a tour around the grounds to see just a couple of the ways students have been able to get out of their heads and into their hands.
So we're here in the back of the school now. We have a nice little bit of space towards the back of the school, so we decided to build a mini forest here. Oh. The TY class has basically constructed this over months and months, nearly a whole year, went into planting all local trees, hawthorns, rowans, ashes. And ahead of us now, we have, you could say, a 30-foot polytunnel. It's about 10 foot by 30 foot long. We are planting early potatoes now pretty soon. Hopefully they'll be ready by summer. And we also have some pak choi growing there since last year, some overwintering kind of kale and vegetables and broccoli and things like that. Everything that we grow here, either the children take home, the kids take home themselves and they eat it at home. And if not, we have herbs and we have herbaceous border just on the other side of this greenhouse here, and that is used in home ec. And then down the back, just behind the pony tunnel, you'll see a small pond. So we have that created now. It's about a year old now. So we're hoping really to have some local kind of amphibians to join us so we can increase the population of the school. What you're trying to do is instill in them just some sense of power, that they do have ownership of with how things and how it may play out ahead of them. You know, we have a very active student council here. We try and get them to act on behalf as a larger voice. You raise your voice and have your voice heard. Participate in national campaigns. Make sure that you understand when it comes to election, who do you want to elect and why you're electing them. That's kind of what you want to hand over to them, the sense of power. It is your future that's coming. It is your time to feel, I suppose, a sense of control over that. And with control eases anxiety.
That's Anne-Marie Flanagan from Selbridge Community School. Sarah, some messages coming in. What might help children deal with climate change anxiety would be to see adults dealing with it. Because in Ireland, this listener says, we're not dealing with it. We're the second most polluting country per capita in the EU. And another says there are plenty of good news on climate social media sites out there. One lovely one on Instagram from Sam Bentley. So that's the Instagram account that listener is recommending. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Our reporter, Sarah Madden. Now, I'm sure you'll recognise this theme tune.
The Clare Byrne Show.
With Aviva Insurance.
Weekday mornings at 9 on News Talk. Conversation that counts.